Well, I'll try and talk as fast as possible so we can get to the food as quick as we can. It's good to see everybody here for this holiday fellowship. This is entitled Saved by the Savior. So, of course, that's a nice figure of speech. But we have to understand that we've been saved, but why? What were we saved from? Who were we saved from? And we do know that God is bigger than the boogeyman. So that will come in handy. So in Genesis 1:27, we see that God was bored. He had absolutely nothing to do in the vast extremities of all time, since time wasn't invented yet. God decided, I know what, I'll make people. Not robots or Autobots or anything like that. I'll make people. And so after a few billion years or whatever it took, depending upon which scientist you want to believe, we go to Genesis 1:27, and we get around to the point where it says, so God created man in his own image, and we know from John 4:24 that God is a spirit. And in the image of God created he him, male and female. So he put the spirit in Adam, he's put the spirit in Eve, and he blessed them. And then God said to them, he's talking to both of them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish. So when you want to go fishing, you'll be able to catch fish. And if you want to go shooting birds, you have dominion over the birds in the air. And over every living thing that moves upon the earth. Well, there aren't any people there yet, so we're just dealing with animals. And God said, look, I have given you. He didn't say, I'm going to put this on your credit card. You can charge this and pay for this later. He said, no, I have given you. Every herb-bearing seed, which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree, God gave every tree, that which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for food, and to every beast of the earth, to every fowl of the air, everything, even little spiders that creep upon the earth, wherein it has life, I have given even green herb for food. And it was so. So, God wanted the best for Adam and Eve. And he gave them the best because that's the nature of our God. He wants the best for each and every one of us. So let's keep reading. Verse 31, God saw everything that he had made and it was so-so. He could have improved on it. You know, maybe the next time around when he made apes, then he'd make things better or something. No, everything he made was very good. That's our God. He wants and supplies very good. That's what he's after. He wants you to just be, you know, life is miserable. When is Christ coming back? No, that's all you think about, man. You got to change your mind a little bit. Read more of the Word. Start living more. Get excited. Because, yes, Christ is coming back, and that's worth being excited about. However, enjoy this life. This is our time in the fellowship of Christ to worship God. Because once it's over with, it's over with. But right now, we can bless God. Right now, we can have joy with God. Right now, we can enjoy the fact that he did send his son. Look at chapter 2, verse 15. God gives the best. He gives very good. And he's just a good God. You know, there's some pretty nasty gods out there over history. When, you know, the different gods that people have created. They're not very nice. But our God's a good God. So in verse 15 of chapter 2, the Lord God blindfolded Adam and took him to... No, God took the man and put him into the garden of paradise. It was paradise. That's what our God wants. He wants paradise for us. And he said, look, I'm going to give you a job. Take care of this garden. If this you want this place to stay looking nice, you got to take care of it. And then he said, all right. He made one minor thing there. He gave Adam free will. Now, we can debate that all we want, but he says, okay, you got free will. So, because you have free will, all of these beautiful trees and all this beautiful fruit and all this beautiful grass and all this other great stuff, it's all yours freely. You can eat it. But you see the tree over there, the good knowledge of good and evil? Leave it alone. Thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, you know, it's not good that man's alone. I will. Again, God is making a conscious decision, and God makes another man for Adam. Oh, no, he doesn't, does he? No. I will make for him a helpmeet. A helper, somebody that they can get along with and they can do, you know, like replenish and all the other stuff we said earlier, that they'll bless each other with properly. God said, I will make. Everything he's made, which includes the helpmate, was good, good, very good. So if you want good, good, very good in your life, maybe we ought to do things God's way. And it's not good that man's alone. He needs a helpmate. Right, Travis? Much better have a helpmate. Yeah. All right. So then, unfortunately, chapter 3 happens. So that's when man went, boy, he got so easily talked out of it. Eve got seduced, man got talked out of it, and now we go to 3:15, and we look at the one consequence, because that's what we're talking about today. 3:15 says, God, I will. Again, God desire, God will. God's willed a lot of great and wonderful things, so he's going to give mankind what mankind needs. I will put enmity between the seed, between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So, from this moment on, from the time Adam fell, and now this promise that there will be a Savior, a seed of a woman who's going to come, who is going to save, redeem, buy back mankind. It's going to happen. And, of course, Eve thinks it happens with the first son, which turns out to be the first murderer. But let's go to 1 John 4. So, from that moment on, God had a plan, but nobody knew how long it was going to take. I don't think anybody expected it to be, you know, roughly 4,000 years. 1 John 4, though, God identifies who this promised seed of the woman is. 1 John 4:14. This is a very clear verse on this. 1 John 4:14, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. All right, did he send Mohammed? Did he send Buddha? Did he send... I'll leave... whoever thinks they're God, whoever thinks they're the Savior. All right, Peyton Manning maybe not, but aside from that... All right. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the cosmos, of the entire universe, of the entire world. Not just the Savior of the age, but a Savior of the cosmos. So, go to John 3:16, because we got to figure out, why would God do that? I mean, man disobeyed him. He could have started all over again with, you know, people from Men in Black, or creatures from Men in Black if he wanted to, or apes, or whatever else Hollywood comes up with these days. Even robots. John 3:16. The Father sent the Son. The Father does good. He is a God of goodness. He sends the Son to be the Savior of the world. Anybody want that job? No, thank you. When you read what he went through and what he had to do, he walked a perfect walk. But 3:16, a very familiar scripture, explains to us why God did it. For God so loved the world, out of love, our God sent his Son to buy back mankind at whatever cost it was going to take, and it was not a light thing. God loved the world, so he gave his only begotten Son, who was going to be the Savior. Then it would be available for all to be saved. Unfortunately, not everybody believes, right? We have a next-door neighbor somewhere, right, that doesn't. Maybe a few others, too. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. We are saved by the Savior that God sent. So, he that believes on him is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. Now, we go to John 1. Go back, because we got to look at John the Baptist's statement here. God so loved all of his creation that he sent his Son to die in our behalf so we could be saved. In John 1:29, John the Baptist makes a tremendous statement here. The next day, John sees Jesus coming unto him and says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Here he is. He has a purpose. He's going to save mankind by taking away the sin of the world. That sin that Adam condemned mankind with, that Christ bought us back, and only believing regarding him is the only way we get it back. Romans 2. More information as to why God did it. And then we'll compare the first Adam with the second Adam. Romans 2, verse 4. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness? Do you not like God wants to bless you and be good to you, and you keep going, nah, no thanks, I don't want your goodness. I like being miserable and sad and worldly. And no, we don't want that, do we? Don't despise the riches of the goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads thee to repentance. Because of the goodness of God, we repent in life. We go from going in that direction and serving ourselves and all the worldly gods to our Savior accomplished and believing him and with the true God, the goodness that the true God has for us. Look at chapter 10 of Romans. The goodness of God, not the fear of God, not because we won't go to hell and be burnt eternally forever. Is there kind of a material that has come up with that where it just burns forever? I don't know anything like that. Romans 10:9. Again, very familiar scripture, but very useful in this day and time as we celebrate the birth of Christ, because you know what? You can't have an ending, you can't have a Savior until you have a beginning, until he gets here. So it's great that the world is reminded, of course it was the Roman Catholics that added the Mass to Christ, but that's a teaching for another time. But the fact that he did come, because if he didn't come, he could never redeem us. So he had to have a beginning, and it's great that he had a beginning. However, celebrating his beginning is good, celebrating what he accomplished is better, and for us, celebrating the return, whatever that is, will be tremendous for all of us who are involved in that time frame. Can't wait till that happened. However, we can enjoy today. Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You will be delivered. From what? For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Because the scripture says, whoever, whosoever, and we're all whosoever's, because we believed on him, shall not be ashamed or disappointed. You will not be disappointed for taking the blue pill. For now, there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Remember, God gave Adam the best, put him in a garden, gave him all kinds of vegetables to eat and all kinds of great fruit. And you know what? There was no DDT. There was nothing there. It was all very tasteful, very pure, probably very large too, and very succulent and all of that. However, that time's coming again if you read the end of the book. Now, there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. Everybody's the same. People want to give themselves identification. I'm part of the short, bald crowd. We're going to heaven first for setup. No, there's no difference. We all have the same Lord. And he's rich. I love serving a rich God. You know, he just goes, hey, sorry, you have to talk to me next month. I ran out of money. That's a typical parent saying, I'm sorry, I can't help you now. You know? But we have a rich God. God gave Adam the best. Through Christ's accomplishments, he wants the best for us. Do we always accept it? That's where the key comes in. Do we always stay in touch with what is the best for us? He is a rich God to anybody that calls upon him, any of the whosoever's. And then whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, will be delivered. It's going to happen. It's guaranteed. All right, so we go to chapter 5. Because the question is, what are we delivered from? What are we saved from? Ah, let's go to chapter 5 of Romans and read what the word says. How's that for a novel concept? 5:8, Romans 5:8. But God commends his love towards us. Remember, God loved, sent his son. His son was born. Yay, we'll get into that. He accomplished things. He's coming back. We can enjoy, but it's because of God's love and goodness. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Have you ever done something for somebody and they don't deserve it? And boy, why am I doing this? Well, that could have been God's attitude. Because none of us deserved it. All have sinned and come short. But because, even though we all were sinners, because of God's love, grace, mercy, and we can continue on with all the adjectives we want about the true God, he sent his son. He sent his son. Verse 9, his son died for us. Much more than, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. What are we going to be saved from? The wrath. The fact that man deserves death and eternal death because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Because of Adam's sin, way back at the beginning, all of mankind is condemned. We had to have a Savior. Glad he got born. Even gladder, he accomplished everything because he was the beginner and finisher of all believing, of all faith. So, we are saved from the wrath that was all of our sentence when we were born as humans. Anybody here not a human? All right, good. The robots haven't started to take over yet. We're all then... We should be really happy. We're justified. We are saved from the wrath to come. Verse 10. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Saved by his life. So let's get out there and work for our own salvation. No, praise God, we don't have to do that. All right. And not only so, but we can also joy. We can joy in our God, our good God, our gracious God, our loving God. We can have joy in him through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we now have received atonement, reconciliation. You walk into the store, you pop down the card, and they say, it's good! And you take the thing and run quickly. All right, we're God grabbed us and took us out through the accomplishments of Christ. You didn't have to run quickly, he kind of... Now, let me see. It's a mixed group. I can't say a few things here. Well, let's just say that God is really, really thankful that he got all of us. And we go, thank you. Glad I was chosen. Don't deserve it. Glad I'm on the team. Okay. Then the next part of it is find out what your job is in the team and do it. All right. So verse 12 now says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world. That was chapter 3 of Genesis with Adam. We don't. That's when sin... And John the Baptist said that we would be saved from the sin of the world. So sin entered the world because of Adam. And then the end result is death by that sin. So death passed upon all men, and that includes women and babies, for that all have sinned. Not a good place to be. Now we have a parenthesis. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. I kind of like skim past the sin real fast. We all know what that's like. I kind of like reading about the free gift, right? But wait, for 1999, here's the free gift. We'll send this to you too, with free shipping. We like the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. We were born in the likeness of Adam with our body and soul. We were born again in the likeness of Christ, allowing to have the gift of Holy Spirit born within us. And it was free, and it was by grace because of Jesus Christ, and it abounded unto many. And guess who's part of the many? You and you and you and you and you and you. I'm not sure about her, but you and you and you and you. Okay. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, Adam, thank you very much, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ, who people are recognizing that he was born, even though he was born in September, not December, but I'm glad they're recognizing this Savior was born, because he saved us from sin. Verse 18 says, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. And that's us, righteous. Hebrews 7. Because of Christ. Hebrews 7 is a great reminder in case you think you were left out or you weren't good enough. Well, none of us were. But Hebrew, or you did something that was so evil, so bad. I mean, used to kill Christians. Oh, no. We read about Paul the Apostle. Or we didn't. We sang about him, rather. Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for them. He is able to save to the uttermost. So it doesn't matter where you've been, what you did. Once you confess Jesus is Lord, God raised him from the dead. You who were dead, if you were dead, you're dead. Doesn't matter how you got there, you were dead. Right? Oh, he died. How did he die? Doesn't matter. He's dead. Okay. But saved to the uttermost. All in sin. All dead. Savior. All alive. All can enjoy. Which end would you rather be on? All right. We've got to look at a couple more here in Ephesians. And then we read the entire book of Revelation backwards. Yes. And we'll hear the secret, you know, the secret, you know, the life. Ephesians 2. Sorry, flashback to the 70s. Paul is dead. All right. Some of you will understand that statement. Ephesians 2:1. And you, he made alive, he quickened. You, that's you. You can put your name in there. You, Anna. I can say Anna because there's a whole bunch of Annas here. Who were dead in trespasses and sins. That's everybody, even Annas. Wherein, in time past, you walked according to the course, or the one translation says the rut. You walked according to the rut of this world. And that's really what the world is. It's just one giant rut. The dead following the dead in hooded robes, and they've got one hand on it, and they're going to be like lemmings and jump off the cliff. That's how we live life. We, according to the rut of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, how he set things up for you, how you walked according to the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also, in case you were going, oh no, I didn't, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, because we were body and soul people without spirit, that was our nature. We were children of wrath, even as others. So you were all part of the wrath that we have now been saved from. But God, who is rich again, this rich God keeps showing up, which is great. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, again, love, mercy. Even when we were dead in sins, he made us alive. He quickened us together with Christ. Again, you are saved because you are so cool. God had to have cool people around. No, by grace we're saved. And hath raised us up together, and he said, set up and sit down. Sit together in heavenlies, in Christ Jesus, that in the ages, aeon, in the ages to come, God is going to show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace, again, you are saved through believing, and that not of yourselves, again, it's the gift of God, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then verse 10, the culmination of this little section right here, we are God's workmanship. We are created in Christ Jesus, and now, because we have a new spirit within us, we are God's workmanship, it's the gift of God, we're seated in the heavenlies, we've got God's grace, now, good works. Now we can do something for God, because we've got a connection, we got the Spirit. We can do things for him now, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So that's what we get to do now. Gift number one that we get to do. How about praising God? How about loving God? How about getting closer to God, talking to God? I mean, God's still there. He didn't die. He's alive and well. Go to Revelation 12. So, all dead, all who believe are saved. It's all available. Now, Revelation 12 helps us to understand this chapter deals with the past, the present, and the future. And in 12:1, it helps us to understand the actual documentation as to why he was... This helps us to deal with the fact that he was born in September and the time frame of when that happened. 12:1 says, there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. This is dealing with the zodiac. How many women are in the zodiac? One, Virgo. She's got... So in the sky, she's clothed with the sun. As the sun comes across, she's clothed with it, and the moon is under her feet. How often does that happen? It doesn't happen very often. I'll just tell you that. But specifically around the time frame of 3 BC, it did happen. Now, she being with child, so this is the birth, and being with child, she was travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. Some of you ladies can identify. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. And this was a great red dragon with seven heads and ten horns and seven crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, because the dragon wanted to worship it. No. For to devour her child as soon as it was born. Boy, was that in place, wasn't that? Right? Herod was already, you know, and he ends up killing everybody 2 years and younger. All right. And she did. She brought forth a man-child. And this man-child was to rule, which is a terrible translation, because he was to rule with a rod of iron. That's the wrong perception. She brought forth a man-child who was to shepherd. It's the word for shepherd. He was going to shepherd all nations. And a rod of iron is what you do to help push the sheep along. It's part of what a tool you utilize to help take care of your sheep. That's what this child was going to do. And then it goes into the future there. But Matthew 1. That was what was going on. You talk about warfare in the spiritual realm. That's what was going on. The devil was preparing a way to kill the child as soon as it was born. The woman had the child, but God, again, because people listened to him, protected the child. And then the child grew up. Matthew 1:18. But since we're looking at the birth, let's read something about the birth. Matthew 1:18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they were come together, she was found with child by the Holy Ghost. And Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream and said, Joseph, thy son of David. I don't know, the angels have deep voices, or they, you know, if it's God, you always got to get that resonance, you know, a lot of bass thing here, but, you know. You can't, you know, I mean, the angel can't talk like Gilbert Gottfried, can it? Okay. All right. A little whiny, you know, really whiny. It's not. Yeah. All right, so the angel appears and says, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, or Jesus. If you type 2, it's Jesus. If you type 1 on your phone, it's Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Got that one? Okay, good. All right.
There it is.
It was a delayed one. Yeah. All right. Okay. Now, this child, Jesus, is going to save people from their sins. And we already read, he did. But when he was born, this was what was told his mother. Isn't that a great thing to know? Oh, your son Isaac is going to save everybody from their sins. Then why is he such a... I'll leave it there.
It's early.
Okay. So, there. The angel told And so Joseph did what he was supposed to do. So, verse 21 again. She shall bring forth a son, call his name Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins. Now, all this was done. It really happened, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son. They'll call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted, God is with us. And Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, took unto him his wife. And he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And guess what? They called the child Jesus. All right, go to Luke. All right, Luke gives us a lot more information about this time frame. So I would be amiss. Actually, I had somebody yell at me one time because I didn't include these type of records in a teaching like this, so I have to read these. So they were mad at me because I didn't do the typical Jesus is born teaching. So Luke 1:26. We'll read it. 6 months, as Pete pointed out, around this time frame, the angel Gabriel was sent from God from a city of Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. He was of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. The angel came unto her, and the angel said, hail, thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And that part of the Hail Mary prayer is very accurate because it quotes the scripture. The second half of that, for all ex-Roman Catholics, is totally fictitious. But this part, she is. The angel said, you're highly favored. You are blessed of all the women. And when she saw the angel, she was troubled. I don't know. Ladies, wouldn't you be? All of a sudden, you know, you're out there and there was an angel there. And, you know, she was troubled. She was troubled at the saying. And she said, she cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb. You're going to bring forth a son, so you can paint the room blue. And you'll be able to call his name Jesus. And he's going to be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, this is tremendous. This is great, but I got one problem. How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Spirit shall come upon thee. The power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. It's pretty clear there. This child that's going to be born. Do we have a little child somewhere around here? Do we have Exhibit A? There it is, Exhibit A. You're the Son of God. Well, we'll be. Where's your hair at, dude? Oh, you're such a baby. All right, go to chapter 2. Good. Now, chapter 2, verse 1 is a continuation. We're early now in 3 BC, and it came to, this is early September of 3 BC. It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that the whole world should be taxed. Oh, some things never change, huh? No, that's not what it's talking about. As far as taxing goes, it's registered or enrolled. This is the 25th year of Caesar Augustus being the emperor, and we need to find out how many loyal subjects there are. So go to your hometown and register there. Okay? You don't have to show any ID. Just go ahead and register there. And this enrollment was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be enrolled or registered. They went back to their own city. Joseph went from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea. He took the train down to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be enrolled or registered with Mary, his espoused wife, or his betrothed wife, being great with child. Oh, we already have the baby. There's nobody great with child now. And so it was that while they were, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And when a baby's going to come, you know what's going to happen? The baby's going to come. Sometimes they're not real convenient when they do happen. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger because the Holiday Inn was booked. And they were in the same country, shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, which helps us to understand that they weren't there in December, because I have nice pictures of it, snow all over Bethlehem in December, and that means it's cold and you would have frozen sheep. So if you don't want to sell your mutton too early, then you wouldn't be out in the fields in December. However, in September was the time you'd bring your sheep in. You'd be hired. The farmers would hire you to bring your sheep in so they could fertilize the field. And they were out there in September, because September's always got really nice weather many times, most of the time, especially in that area. So all these shepherds are out in the field. They're sitting around, smoking cigars probably, looking at the stars, you know, enjoying themselves. And verse 9, everything changes quickly. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were afraid. All of a sudden, an alien starship appeared. There's a big light in the sky, and they were living in New Mexico. And the angel said unto them, this is what the first thing angels are taught in Angel 101 school, to say, fear not, right? If you notice, every time an angel appears, pretty much, fear not. Okay, everybody, fear not, fear not. Okay, got that down. That's the first thing when you see a human, you got to say to them, fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. And it's going to be for all the people. Isn't that a great thing? Good tidings of great joy. Anybody up for that? Isn't that something you want to hear? What a God. Good tidings. Great joy. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. A Savior. The Savior. Christ the Lord. Now, This is how you're going to know you're going to get the right one and not be found in a Monty Python film. This will be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly, that one angel multiplied. It was duplicity all of a sudden, a whole bunch of Michael Keatons. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So this is what we could say this month to those who are expecting the birth of a Savior. We can say, glory to God. We got peace, goodwill towards one another. But make sure you have a gun or a knife with you just in case. All right. And it came to pass, the angels were gone, verse 15. All of a sudden, one angel, a whole bunch of angels, they're all talking and bright blazing, and then they're all gone. I'm glad there was more than one shepherd out there at this time. All right. And it came to pass, when the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. Okay. Mr. Bim, I'll pick on you. You have a child, right? Yeah. When your child was born, you told nobody. You just showed up one day with a child. No, you told people. Some people even would buy cigars, even if they were the bubblegum kind, right? To let everybody know, I had a child. You put, you know, either a blue or a pink bow out in a mailbox to let them know. Because you want people to know. It's a joyous event. God was a proud papa. The only ones who would listen were a bunch of shepherds. So he sent messengers there and said, go, be happy. The Savior's here. I got somebody who's going to believe. Now, should, you know, the government, the press, should have been all the TV channels of that time, all over the internet. The only people who would believe were a bunch of shepherds out in the field. That's who got the good news. And you know what they did? When they saw the angels and listened to the angels, they did what the angels wanted them to do. They went. They went, and they, what did they see? Verse 16, it also says, they came with haste, and they found Mary, and they found Joseph, and they found the babe lying in a manger, just like the angel said. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child, and all that heard it believed and thought it was, no, they wondered at those things. Oh, yeah, people tell you stuff, and you go, that might be too good to be true. You know, not quite. Hey, this really was true. An angel appeared. Shepherds saw him. Shepherds told everybody. And Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they have heard and seen as it was told unto them. Wouldn't it be great when we sit down and have a nice cappuccino with one of these shepherds and talk to them about what it was like, you know, being there, that, you know, and then seeing the child, the real child, being, you know, You're only supposed to be three wise men, and they came much later, but there was a lot more. But anyway, these shepherds actually were there to witness the account. Go to John 19. Because this babe grew up, this son, this proud papa God, had this son die on behalf of all of us. John 19:30. Three words. John 19:30, the thing in red in that verse. It is finished. Absolutely. He accomplished salvation. That babe who the shepherds came and saw and the wise men later showed up and gave gifts to, grew up, lived, died, sacrificed himself, perfect sinless life. Oh, he healed a lot of people, and he taught the word, and cast out devils, and quite an impact. Here's 2,000 years later. We're still talking about him. It is finished. Accomplished. Acts 1. Accomplished. Saved people. And made it available for all. Saved by the Savior. He accomplished it. It is finished. Acts 1:4. And in his resurrected body, he shows up again. A body we got to look forward to, especially as you start getting older and aging more. Acts 1:4, and being assembled together with them. It's interesting that word assembled is sunaliso, which is the word salted. Being salted, he took a salt covenant with them in his resurrected body and said, don't leave Jerusalem. I don't care what your lease says. Stay in Jerusalem. But wait here for the promise of the Father, which you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, is this the time you're going to restore again the kingdom of Israel? Can I be, you know, in charge, you know, can I be in charge of health, education, and welfare? Can I be in charge of, no. And he said unto them, guys, grow up. It's not for you to know the times of the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. Instead, verse 8, you're going to receive power. It's going to be a spiritual revolution. You're going to tell others. When this Holy Spirit has come upon you and you receive the power, then you will take that power that God in Christ in you, the nine abilities, the nine manifestations of the Holy Spirit, and you're going to witness. You're going to let other people know, just like the shepherds were told to go tell others. Go see it for yourself, tell others. Same thing today for us. See it for ourselves, tell others. They, at that time frame, were going to receive the Holy Spirit. It was going to be power. And then tell people about it in Jerusalem. Tell people about it in Judea. Tell people about it in Samaria. And tell people about it in the uttermost part of Pueblo. And when he had spoken these things, he was taken up. Cloud received him out of their sight. And these guys were standing and looking. Okay, he was here. And now he just kind of... Two men stood by in white apparel and said, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, this one who was born in a manger, this one who an angel announced his presence, this one who said, it is finished, this same Jesus that God raised from the dead, that saved all of mankind, this same Jesus, which is taken up into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. The first thing these people needed to know to walk was receive power, and then he's coming back. He's coming back. Because why finish college if you don't get a diploma? Why even go? Why even show up for school? Why do anything if there's not a reward of some kind at the end? You can just be another zombie living through life. Oh, wait a minute. Are there zombies around us? Okay. A hope. A hope. He's coming back. You know what? He came once. People doubted him. He's going to come again. People talk about Christ is being born. It's a great time. And they sing all kinds of songs about it. But it's what he accomplished. It's the giving of the gift, the power here. We'll go to Mark 16. Mark 16. We'll close there. For the exhortation before he left to his apostles, his disciples, and to any who believe and want to tell others about the greatness of the shepherd, the shepherd king, Jesus Christ, who wants to tell about the Savior who lived the perfect life, who went about doing good, making things available. Mark 16, 15. Some of the good work that we can do today is laid out for us here. And he said unto them, go into the whole world and preach yourself. Preach the gospel. Preach the good news to everyone. Herald it forth. And he that listens and believes it and is baptized in the name is going to be saved also. But he that believes not, well, because of Adam's sin, they're still in their sins. They're condemned already. And these are the signs that will follow them that believe. In my name they shall drink good coffee. Oh, sorry. In my name shall they cast out devils. They're going to speak with new tongues, and if they take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly things, it's not going to hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken them, he was received up into heaven, as we read in Acts. He sat down on the right side of God, and they went forth. Those who heard him, they did something with it, like the shepherds. Who there was the announcement of the baby. They went and saw. There's an announcement that he's coming back again for us, and the Holy Spirit's available. We are saved because of what Christ did. We now go forth too, like they did here. They preached everywhere. And the Lord worked with them, confirming the word with them, signs following. So it proved the truth. They did these signs that are there in 15 through 18. God was with them. And today, God, because of his love, because of his grace, because of his mercy, and because of his goodness, we have the ability to have a book, to read what Christ accomplished, to live it, and to teach others about it, and to live it, because we have a rich God who cares an awful lot about each and every one of us. He's a complete God who sent his son to die for us so we can live and have real life, a real life, and we're saved from the wrath to come. So, Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for sending your son, but thank you for what he accomplished. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to know more about your son and more about the goodness of what's available because of how much you care about us. We're grateful, Dad, that you chose us to be part of your body in this day and time and hour, and we're so grateful that you love us and that we can then tell others boldly about what your son accomplished in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.